program.
Oh, hi. Yes.
Yes, sir. Hey, it's 31 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. Live, I say. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970 today. 503-733-2970. If you want to email as well, by gosh, you can do it. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Coming up later on today, we have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. She's going to be talking about, who's that woman, Cynthia McKinney, that Georgia, looks like she's going to jail. It's fantastic. It's a Georgia congresswoman who, she punched a security guard, slapped a security, doesn't matter. It's a security guard facing off against a congresswoman, and the congresswoman's going to go to jail and be beaten senseless, I would imagine. So that's good news. So we'll be talking about that later on. Clyde Lewis will be here this hour. We're talking about the news at Ground Zero. We have a clown watch coming up today, and it's disturbing. He's a clown. Sounds like a bad movie. He's a clown and a cop and a child molester. That's coming up today. Speaking of molestation, we have a double clergy watch coming up later on, a Darwin watch. It really is a fantastic day for human frailty and weakness. That is all coming up today. We'll do the top five AC/DC songs you probably never hear, because Angus Young turned 51 over the weekend. And I hold in my hands this week's National Enquirer.
You actually bought it?
I paid for it.
I don't believe it. It's good to be working again. So the first thing with a new paycheck.
I don't have to shoplift my tabloids anymore. I don't have to go. I look over there. There's a thief and like run away with the star. Boy, Whitney Houston. I've now become incapable of turning down anything that has Whitney Houston attached to it. World exclusive. That doesn't really seem true at this point. Since like we spent 3 days talking about it last week. World exclusive inside Whitney's drug den. And there's a huge blow up of that photo of her kitchen sink. And there's all of these weird items sitting on there. There's a big crack pipe, but in a way that's not really the most, like you expect that, right? So there's a crack pipe, some empty Budweiser cans, malt liquor bottle. Anybody want to guess what kind of cigarette she smokes?
Newport.
I think you're right. Wait,
really?
What are those? Are those Newports?
Yep.
Okay.
All African-American women smoke Newports.
That's Tim Riley there with the blatant racial generalization.
No, it isn't.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool.
Nope.
Or is that black men?
I'm not sure. But I would say the vast majority, and this is not a racist comment,
no, it's
of African-American women are marketed by Newport.
Well, I guess it is so with black men. I guess they market cools. This is, I got to say, Byron, that all of this knowledge about what black men smoke, in terms of cigarettes anyway, this is all based upon watching endless episodes of Oz on HBO.
Cool!
So that's what that's based on. Well, I mean, it is true that they market certain brands of whatever to certain people. Like, because Sarah smokes. No. Oh, please.
Her friends.
Sarah's giving me the cut. We talked about it for like 2 hours when you were gone the other day. Well, never mind. Sarah doesn't smoke.
Kids.
Isn't it Virginia Slims? Haven't you come a long way, baby?
God, no.
That's
from
the 60s.
I'm sorry.
That's from the days of miniskirts.
Well, whatever. Anyway, you look at Whitney Houston's sink. So it's Newports, Budweiser, crack pipes, and then there's just a huge screwdriver, not the vodka kind. Like an actual screwdriver just sitting in front of the sink, and you know what that's about. That's like a resin scraping thing. That's totally what that is. Like, oh, that's like when you become that crackhead and you're just smoking anything white you find laying on the floor. Like powdered flakes of liquid paper. Just right up your nose. All right. Well, that's all coming up. Plus your phone calls. Sarah Dillon is here. Not smoking, of course. Living a healthy and clean lifestyle because your body is the temple of Jesus.
Sure.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and not at all hungover, and I mean that sincerely. You look as though you are well-rested.
No, kind of. Well, I, you know, didn't really think about this whole spring forward thing, which means I got up at 3 o'clock this morning instead of 4.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
Yeah. Well, I have that thing all week because the station, you know, this is the every computer system in the building, you just wait for it to crash twice a year in daylight savings time. So I stayed awake until like 2:15 when it became 3:15 or whatever, and then my phone didn't ring and I went to bed. So I'm feeling fantastic.
I just watched Book TV and read the New York Times yesterday.
Tim Riley's a better person than all of us. Working on the following stories for your edification today.
A Florida woman is charged with caging her disabled son in her trailer. There's a mall brawl following the screening of the urban-themed ATL in Portland.
Fighting over some Newports.
The Ice Age proves to be hotter than Sharon Stone at the box office. And Canada's new conservative government scraps decriminalizing marijuana.
Excellent. All right. Or not excellent. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's in Canada. Anybody see Basic Instinct 2 this weekend?
Nobody did.
No. I tried.
Nobody in this world did.
I tried, but it's like I was just busy with all this other stuff. And then I was going to try to get it done. Here's how I viewed Basic Instinct 2. I viewed it as sheer ridicule and show prep. Like, I wasn't going to go for my own entertainment. Wasn't going to be amusing in any way. My whole deal with Basic Instinct 2 is I'm going to go, I'm going to laugh, I'm going to mock, I'm going to point, I'm going to leave, I'm going to talk about it today, and then I'm going to forget it. And I'm never, and it'll be slip out of my brain like it was made out of Teflon.
It's the Geely of the spring, really.
It really is. I didn't even get that far. Because my whole thing was, here's how low it was on my priority scale. My whole thing was, if I couldn't see it at the first thing Saturday morning at like 11 a.m., just to get it done, I wasn't going to see it. And I slept in, I woke up, and I had like a waffle or whatever, and I look up, and it's 11:15. The movie starts at 11:10. I'm like, well, screw it, and I just checked it off, and I didn't even... And
I can't watch the 20, then I'm not going.
You see that Box Office Mojo site where they tell you the average per screen? And
Got
the
it.
Average...
Thank you. You're welcome. At your service.
We all think alike. The
yes,
Rick Emerson Show.
We're all in the
same
God, thing.
Look at that.
It's dismal, isn't it?
Oh, so we'll talk about that. All right, it's all coming
it's
up.
Not even on the first page.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Well, our top story at the moment. Senators have resumed their hard work on the political hot potato of immigration reform, and they're doing so well. Senate Republican leaders hope to push legislation through by the end of the week. Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter...
Why is this suddenly such a big deal? Who cares?
Well, because we don't have any kidnapped white children this week.
That must be what it is. Did they ever find that girl in Aruba?
I'm not sure.
Oh, Natalie Holloway?
I think people lost
sad
interest.
For all of us that you know her name.
No, they haven't.
Really? Because I was reading, I was flipping through the... Here's what I was doing yesterday. So I go to Fred Meyer at the buy... I remember what I was buying. I was buying some crap at Fred Meyer's, like lunch food or whatever. Anyways, I'm going to Fred Meyer. And, of course, I'm standing there in line. Now, do you, when you guys go to Fred Meyer, do you use the... Do you use the automated thing, or do you go over to the...
Yeah, any excuse not to talk to another human being.
See, that's what I'm saying. And it's
I end up doing it because I always buy reduced-priced items that stop the procedure.
You're buying me a dented can, and they don't want to scan. Because on the one hand, I'm angry that they're trying to get me to, you know, that they want me to make me work myself, you know, that it, have me do it. But on the other hand, I hate talking to the teller because it's that faux politeness. The, you know, like at Safeway, when they scan a thing and they look at the thing, thank you, Mr. Emerson. Here you go. You know, and it's like, I'm pretending you're my friend.
They mispronounce your name.
And it's like, then why are you pretending you're my pal, you know? And plus it's Safeway. There's this woman, she's got a bum wing. She's got
bum wing?
Well, it's...
Which one? The one on 39?
Yeah, she's...
Which register?
Well, I don't want to... Well, she'll be easy to spot. No, she's a very nice person. She's very nice. She's completely charming. Mm-hmm. But it's like they kind of took her out of the oven too early. She's like one of her, like her right hand, like they're just sort of nubs.
Is it like smaller?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's not, I'm not.
Is one of those like nubs on the elbow?
Well, it's as though, like her arm is of the normal length. Like her arm is fully, she doesn't have the T-Rex arms. No, like her arm extends all the way, but her fingers are very short and unformed.
Oh.
So imagine like if I just hacked all your fingers off at the first knuckle. Like, that's kind of what it's like. Anyway, but she's perfectly capable. She is handy capable. But I always do that thing of, like I overreach, and it's like my hand... Well, anyway, it's, like, weird, and I'm always dropping things. Like, she'll go to hand me something, and I'll go, and it's like my hand will go too far up her hand. Like, it won't stop. Because she doesn't have a thumb. That's the thing. She doesn't have a thumb. Like, do you ever shake hands with somebody with no thumbs?
No.
Your hand goes all the way up to their elbow.
No, you always do that, too. I met a guy who is missing a few fingers this weekend. And, you know, and I knew it, was his shaking hands, and I was like, nice to meet you, and I, like, squished his hand. I'm like, oh,
totally.
Man.
Like that Callahan guy from the Willamette. You know what I'm talking about? The cartoonist?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's got, like, no muscle. That's why his drawings are all jittery, because he's got no muscle, but no strength to speak of. And it's like shaking hands with Linguini. And it's like, you forget it, though, and you're like, hey, get... And you're like, oh, damn. You know, he's... But she didn't have any thumbs, and so it's like, if you go, you don't realize how crucial those thumbs are to stopping two hands when they meet. And so my hand always slides all the way up to her elbow, and it's all awkward. Anyway, so... What was my point? And so
I don't remember.
So
we started talking about immigration reform. Now we're talking about a cashier's thumbs.
So I go to Fred Meyer, and I use the automatic checkout thing. There was something there, the Inquirer.
It must have been.
Oh, and so I'm standing there in line reading the Inquirer, because it's like, if you're trashy, you might as well just roll with it. And there's a big thing about Natalie Holloway, the Aruba girl, who I couldn't possibly care less about.
Really? Because that story interests me.
Listen, why?
I don't know, people disappearing out of nowhere and all these... This, it seems like this big web of lies. It sounds...
Really?
Urban legend type of thing.
Should get on that Kenny Vance story, then. Aruba murder breakthrough. Kenny Vance, that's a joke.
Who is that?
Okay, so let's talk about immigration.
So, speaking of immigration reform...
I can't give you this Inquirer, because then you're going to ignore the show and you'll sit there and read it.
I will not, I promise.
Here's what happens sometimes during the show. There's some shows where Sarah's really engaged... And she's really into what's going on. And there's some shows where I look over and you're just texting, like, the entire time.
That
you're,
is
like, IMing
true.
Somebody. You know it's true. If I give you this Inquirer now, you're just going to be disengaged from the show.
No, I'm ready to go. The clown watch is ready. I'm listening.
Well, when's your pithy observations? Because you should be reading about the Aruba girl. Fine, here you go.
Thanks.
Jesus. All right.
Meanwhile, speaking of immigration reform. Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter said it would be impractical to attempt to round up and deport more than 10 million illegal aliens in the U.S.
In the whole system, there are a host of different problems that arise in a whole series of different areas.
Is this Arlen Specter?
Almost each one of those areas, we're not functioning well.
You know, he could be talking about anything there.
Prostate exam.
I was just going to say, he could be talking about needing to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. He's sounding kind of like Forrest Gump.
That's why I wanted to... He's from Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania.
Right? When did he pick up a Kentucky accent?
In the whole system.
Probably Southern Pennsylvania.
Southern Pennsylvania. Different problems that arise in a whole series of different areas.
Okay, wait, hold on. What?
It's Jenny. He sounds like Forrest Gump. I'm sorry.
They said you got a virus. Let's pretend he's talking about ant farms. Senator Specter, what's wrong with your ant farm?
In the whole system, there are a host of different problems that arise.
Could be anything.
In a whole... series of different areas, and in almost each one of those areas, we're not functioning well.
All right, let's talk.
It's like the guy at Chippy Lou that says you need a transmission overhaul.
just no matter what you want to be there for. All right, so there you go. There's Arlen Specter, who's suddenly Southern.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has refused to hear an appeal challenging the president's authority to jail American terrorist suspects without filing charges against them or even taking them to trial ever. Legal analysis Royal Oak said the high court decided to avoid ruling on such a critical issue.
The question was, may the Bush administration treat an American citizen who is captured on American soil as an enemy combatant and as a result hold them indefinitely without the normal rights given to criminal defendants? The U.S. Supreme Court said that that's just too hypothetical since he's already been charged as a criminal defendant.
Okay. Now, this is about Jose Padilla.
Some wild speculation.
He's an enemy combatant, they say.
And he's not the shoe bomber, is he?
No, this is a different guy. This is the former Chicago gang leader and a convert to Islam who was arrested in 2002 after a trip to Pakistan. Right. He was just on vacation from the Chicago gang.
Hanging out in Pakistan and pleasure boating.
Yeah, the government alleged at the time he was part of a plot to detonate a dirty bomb.
Excellent. Oh, that's right. He's the dirty bomber. Richard Reed is the shoe bomber.
Right. This guy never tried to light shoes on fire.
He never tried to do anything.
No.
These guys are all hapless anyway. What? Look, I'm not trying to suggest that anybody should engage in terrorism. How hard can it be? How hard is it to light something correctly? You know what I mean?
Well, that is true.
I don't understand. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I mean, we don't want people to go out and do it.
No, I'm not suggesting you should engage in terror. Terrorism is wrong. All I'm saying is it doesn't seem exceptionally difficult. I could probably do it.
Yeah.
Not that I'm threatening to do it.
No, well, don't.
Let's move on.
All 17 crew members believed to have survived a military C-5 aircraft crash this morning in Delaware. This is a gigantic thing.
Oh, I saw that. The airplane got broken up, mm-hmm.
It was lifting off the runway at Dover Air Force Base. And Stuart Bailey of the Kalamazoo Air Zoo of Michigan said the huge size of the C-5 gives occupants protection in the event of a crash.
You've got all that rest of that airplane underneath you. There's a lot between you and the ground.
It's one of the safest planes in service.
It's had an excellent safety record over 30 years. There's only been four crashes.
And this is one of them.
All right. So there, I'm sure that's a great comfort to everybody there.
Did anyone go see the Urban Film ATM, or is that ATL over the weekend?
No, I did not. Is that ATL? Does that stand for Above the Law?
I'm just guessing. Police say a large fight broke out in the food court of Lloyd Center Friday night after.
Yeah.
Southeast, represent.
Yeah. 200 kids got into a fight. Officers say most of the group ran from the mall and ran onto public transportation where they belong. No reports of property damage or injury.
Sarah's gesticulating wildly.
That's Northeast.
Isn't Lloydson? Oh, no, you're right, because it's past Burnside. Okay, I'm sorry. Just
I thought it was like sign language.
Everything in my neighborhood. It's just everything over there that's grubby and slimy, I mentally just put it in my... Because that's the mall I go to most frequently.
Uh-huh.
I can never go... I can't... Like, here's what living in Southeast does to you. And you're right, because it's on the other side. But it's... when you live on the east side, like, everything anywhere that's nice just becomes, like, you can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I go to this mall downtown, what is it, Pioneer Courthouse Mall or whatever it is, and it's just, and it's still trashy, big metal roses and whatnot in the middle, but I can't go there because it feels way too upscale for me, because they've got a Franklin Covey store, and they've got a Baby Gap or something, and they've got something else that's like...
they have, like, some fancy Louis Vuitton store there.
And there's a stationery store, and it's like if there isn't just... Because you go to Lloyd Center, though, and it's nothing but hats. That's all it is. It's nothing but baseball hats and, like, have your name spray painted on a rose.
And people attacking you with
running
clipboards.
Around with droopy drawers.
and children beating children at the food court. That's all it is. So the Lloyd Center is really the only place where I ever feel comfortable. So as such, that's why I dress badly, because I buy everything there. So,
well, sexually charged music magazines, television, and movies are pushing these youngsters into doing such things. Also into intercourse at an earlier age, perhaps by acting as kind of a virtual peer that tells them everybody else is doing it.
Intercourse is an unpleasant word. I don't care for that word at all. Did you ever hear somebody, and so it's never an old person, though. It's always just some average age person that they use intercourse in a non-sexual way. Like, they'll talk about social intercourse. You know, well, when you're engaging in social intercourse in the office, and they'll use it, and it's like they're oblivious to the fact that they're making everybody giggly and uncomfortable by use of the term.
Canada's new conservative government will scrap legislation that would decriminalize small amounts of marijuana. This, according to Prime Minister Stephen Harper, the legislation brought up by the previous Liberal government alarmed police officials in Canada and the neighboring United States, who said it would only encourage the already booming trade of pot.
It didn't. All right. It didn't alarm police. It didn't alarm anybody. It didn't. That's a lie. I'll tell you right now. Not a single police officer. I'm not going to go on and on and on about it. It's pointless. But not a single police officer anywhere who's alarmed by the idea of a bunch of potheads laying at home doing nothing and being unproductive.
It's the Unabomber's anniversary today. Did you know that?
Who? Oh, Ted Kaczynski?
Yep.
The anniversary of what? Not the catcher.
His arrest.
Really?
10 years ago today.
God. Boy, that makes me feel old. Because I was in, because I remember getting, getting ahead of ourselves. Remember that Capture the Unabomber?
Yes.
Because his whole thing was he was bombing a bunch of people. Why was he UNA again, though? Was it universities? Is that where he was bombing?
That's it. The FBI dubbed him Unabomb because his first targets were university and airline.
Right. I know my serial killers. So his whole thing was that he demanded to publish a manifesto. And then they gave in. The Washington Post published the whole thing. Like, it was like a 40,000-word manifesto. And they published it as a special pull-out edition in the paper. And I remember sitting there and reading it. And it was all crazy. It was, like, completely nutty. And his brother was somewhere reading it and went, it sounds just like Ted. And then they went and wasn't he living in, like, a Lincoln log cabin somewhere?
He was arrested in his Montana cabin. It was one of those small things that they sell at Home Depot.
It was, like, one of those, like, little pods they sell.
For a horse.
No, it was ridiculous. The mid-90s, man, that was a golden age for bitter-crazed loners living in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had, in the space of like 2 years, wasn't it, we had Randy Weaver happen?
Yep.
Him and the nutcase Randy Weaver got the FBI went up and snuffed his family. And then we had the Freemen. Remember the Freemen in Montana?
Yep.
With the whole, like, we don't recognize the authority. Oh,
take the license plates off your car.
Totally. I do not recognize, like, a whole bunch of Dale Gribbles living in a, you know. Hank, they're going to put a chip in your head. Just a whole bunch of guys sitting there claiming. The
right.
Best thing about
somebody
the Freemen.
Somebody wants to take over Montana. Yeah,
They should have just fenced off the whole state. It's square, you know?
Well, let the cows roam loose. That's all that happens up there.
The best thing about the Freemen was seeing them refusing to identify the authority of the police as they were being, like, beaten and handcuffed and stuffed in the back of a car. Like, I did not recognize it. Wham! You know, like, right into the whole thing. And then the Unabomber.
Yep.
And it's like, and the best part is that nobody even had to question where he was from. Like, the guy came forward to my brother, Ted Kaczynski, and they're like, Northwest. Got it. You know, because it's, You know, ever since the 80s, man, it's all those nutcase Aryan Nations types up there. This whole part of the country is just riddled with freaks.
Anyway, two men will spend the next 6 months aboard the International Space Station. They're settling into the new surroundings with the help of a crew that is returning home. The country of Brazil, which is so poverty-stricken that it shoots all its youngsters running around wild, has its first astronaut in outer space.
I'm sorry?
Well, Brazil wants to feel good about itself, so it's getting into the space race.
I thought Brazil was a paradise. I thought Brazil was
No. That's where the Amazon forest is, and they're bulldozing it to build subdivisions.
Else. Somebody told me that that Brazil was a land, a carefree land of happy natives without troubles.
Oh, they're probably shaking in their grass skirts, but that's only during their Mardi Gras. Well, here's Brazil's first astronaut named Marcos Cesar Ponte.
Brazil has an astronaut.
Yeah, he's the first Brazilian in outer space. Oh. He's had to aspire to something.
Is that going to be like a wacky teen comedy with lots of pot humor coming up?
You want to put Brazil on the moon one of
these
days.
That's like it'd be like the follow-up to Cool Runnings.
This year is 100 years of the first Brazilian aviator flight. So this is a very significant moment for my country.
He's any better up there than he does at home. That's Marcos Cesar Pontes, the first Brazilian in outer space.
All right, there you go. Well, let's take a break, shall we? Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. Here's what's coming up. We have a disturbing clown watch to get to. What else? We have a...
obese children are our newest epidemic.
And a double clergy watch. Clyde Lewis will be here. Later on, we got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian to talk about last night's Sopranos and what's coming up on the TV.
Is anybody going to talk about the Tory spelling program? Or was I the only one watching that last night?
Oh, you watched So Notorious?
What?
Both episodes.
No one told me.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, wait, we have to wait. No, you have to wait. No one told me there was new Tory spell. Where was I?
I don't know where you were. You're probably buying the Inquirer.
Sarah's giving a look like, how could you not know? Okay.
Two episodes are on last
And we'll
night.
Talk about Rick Emerson Listener Party 9, now officially booked and coming up Thursday, April 20th at Sabalas Mount Tabor. You stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so we've got Clyde Lewis coming up, news at Ground Zero, Clown Watch, Devil Clergy Watch, all much stuff. Later on, is it Ed McCarthy? Talking about the Congress?
Oh, no, it's Lisa Goddard.
That's right. Lisa Goddard's going to talk about the Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, who I guess slugged a guy, which is fantastic. We'll talk about Listener Party 9, still unnamed. We're already getting names that are coming in. We haven't even started soliciting. We're already getting names coming up for that. That's coming up Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. I was doing a walkthrough at Sabalas yesterday. They've expanded that place a little bit. Expand is not the word, but they sort of redesigned the insides. There's actually a lot more room in there. I mean, it was a big place already. It's just looking fantastic.
I know, I was hanging out there on Saturday night.
Did you see that gigantic?
So excited.
Have you seen the gigantic clown mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good time.
It's such a cool place.
There's a huge Dayglo clown mouth. I don't want to give it away. So we'll talk more about that. Listener Party 9, 7 p.m. Thursday, April 20th. Sabalas Mount Tabor, and we'll be talking more about that as things progress. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
Speaking of clowns, let's do the clown watch.
Excellent. Here's your clown watch for Monday.
A Pennsylvania police officer who performed for children as Chuckles the Clown has been arrested for molesting two four-year-old girls in the township home of their foster parents, Detective Daryl Ryder says. Michael Fernsler was arrested at his job at Shepherdsburg University. He was brought back to Dauphin County, where he was arraigned in night court on charges of involuntary deviant sexual intercourse with a child.
Involuntary deviant sexual intercourse.
Corruption of minors, indecent assault, indecent exposure, and unlawful contact with a minor. Fernsler told police that he was addicted to pornography and was seeking counseling for it.
You know, there really ought to be some additional penalty when you, like, there's that, when you're a cop and they, you know, if you're a cop and you shoot somebody or you steal something, there's an additional penalty because it's called doing it under the color of law, meaning using, you know, doing it while you're wearing the badge. There really ought to be some additional penalty for doing it as a clown. I mean, because that's... Is that me?
That is you.
Is somebody calling me? Hold on.
In the middle of a show.
All right. What's, I can't even tell who this is from. Was hoping, give me a call, get back at me, dog. Well, that's got to be Dennis. Well, we all agree that's either got to be Dennis or Paul Halama. All right, well, whatever. What's I talking about? Under the color of law. So this would be under the color of clown. Because it clear... Look, clearly being molested is no walk in the park in any circumstance, no matter how it happens to you. But, I mean, you got to figure that you add the clown aspect in, and it's just a whole lot of... That's like whatever your therapy was going to cost before, you just go ahead and you just triple that.
Well, he started performing as Chuckles the Clown when he was Chuckles. A patrolman for the police department. Jesus. He even performed at a fire prevention open house. In October 20th, 2004, Fernsler said his crowd act had landed him invitations from nursing homes, hospitals, and daycare centers.
Oh, Jesus.
That's
God.
The clown
There's
watch.
Your clown watch. Stay away from the clown, kids. So anyway, there's a giant clown mouth at Sabala's. It's not done yet, though. They were only working on it when I went by yesterday.
Well, yeah, because the whole side part, the sidebar is the sideshow lounge. It's a bunch of, like, freaky pictures on the wall.
Did you see the haunted forest?
The haunted forest?
Well, you know, he's got all those creepy 3D... Or maybe we're not sounding... Maybe we're not making it sound like an appealing place.
It's 3D painted.
There's a bunch of really great Dayglow 3D artwork in that place, and it looks great regardless, but then he's got these 3D specs you can put on, and then the walls leap out at you, but he's got this one that's a haunted forest. Now it's brand new. It's messed up. You look at it, and it's like a whole bunch of those trees from Poltergeist coming right out of the wall at you.
Oh, is it in the entranceway right before you go in?
Yeah, right as you turn left to go to the side street. Yeah,
I did see that. That's
yeah, so do you want to take any? You don't want to be doing any drugs or anything before you go there, because it'll mess you up. Here's Tim.
Many young children are too heavy for standard car safety seats, and manufacturers starting to make them heftier models to accommodate
them.
More than 23% of U.S. children aged 2 and 5 are overweight. Take Jenny Riggs of Tillamook, Oregon, for example.
Of course, to no one's surprise.
The first paragraph. She has difficulty finding a harnessed seat for her almost 5-year-old daughter, Haley.
I picture her living right next to the cheese factory. And
who
just...
is heavier and taller than most kids her age.
Heavier and taller
it's
than most.
It's only skin.
That's a...
46 inches and 46 pounds. She weighed 40 pounds when she was 3. Well, she bought the $250 Brix Tax Husky seat.
Husky seat. That's
which
fantastic.
Is 4 inches wider than the standard harness seat. It's like a lazy boy recliner, said the happy mom. A little difficult getting it in the back seat, but my daughter loves it. It handles up to 80 pounds.
I'm what? Husky seat. Yeah, okay. I don't want to say anything cruel. Children are, you know, they are our greatest natural resource. Even when they're hugely obese with a gigantic child ass on them. Go ahead.
Well, the always stylish Laura Bush said Hillary Rodham Clinton kept a bad house.
Okay, Laura Bush is not stylish. Let's get rid of that.
According to her new book, we're going to cover this new book.
She's not. I mean, here's the thing about Laura Bush. Laura Bush has got, it's not that she's ugly or that she's got no style at all. I realize that I am a man saying this, but even I know she's got no style at all. She's a blank.
I agree.
Right? She's absolutely incomplete. And I guess maybe in certain parts of this fine nation of ours, having no style at all and just being bland passes for style. You know, I mean, all I'm saying is Hillary Clinton had a little bit of style. Hillary Clinton had a distinct look to her.
Well, the incoming first lady was dismayed at what she saw when she took a tour at one point. Not only were the carpets and furnishings spraying in disrepair in the West Wing and public areas, the Oval Office was done in loud colors, red, white, and gold. Laura Bush had noted that the Lincoln bedroom looked worn out.
Oh, I'm sorry, they didn't have any, none of hunting trophies or something mounted on the wall?
Apparently not.
Yeah, okay.
None of armadillo carcasses.
So you get a plastic singing trout on the wall in there. Everything will look just fine. Laura Bush looks like one of Clyde's alien grays. She's got those little tiny receded slitty nostrils. You know what I'm talking about? And she's got the weird, like, almond-shaped eyes. I mean, you really, without too much difficulty, you can picture her strapping you to a stainless steel table and beginning some sort of, like,
alien autopsy.
Some sort of some sort of deep, vigorous probing of a sensitive part of your anatomy. I can picture that without any trouble at all. All right.
Up we go to Florida.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I didn't know where. Where are we going to?
Florida.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
FLA.
Yes, I know. Hold on a second.
One of the southern states.
No. Okay. There we go. Thank you.
A woman in Pensacola faces aggravated abuse charges as sheriff's deputies found her disabled son locked in her trailer without food, water, and electricity. They say Debbie McGeorge kept her 27-year-old son in a mobile home located in the 1700 block of Blakely Avenue by nailing the windows and doors shut.
Really? So he's inside a cage, inside a... So it's really just a cage, inside a cage, inside a cage, inside a cage. Because it's like... cage inside a mobile home, inside some redneck town, inside Florida.
He suffers from cerebral palsy.
Ugh.
He had absolutely nothing inside the house to help him sustain life. He was wearing an adult diaper, and it was heavily soiled. He was probably wearing it for 2 weeks or so. He had a lot of open sores in private areas.
Oh,
here's a picture of their...
Happy lunchtime, everybody. Heavily soiled, open sores. Heavily soiled is an unpleasant word. Ugh. And, you know, a heavily soiled diaper in, like, Alaska is one thing. A heavily soiled diaper for 2 weeks in Florida is quite a... you're moist under the best of circumstances.
Kept the gators away.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, the woman's son is... All right, there you go. There's a... All right. Okay, what am I taking? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was... I thought it was the warm line. Clyde Lewis, how are you, sir? Clyde Lewis.
There's your theme for your party.
Heavily soiled?
And open sores.
Let's not.
No?
That wouldn't work?
No.
Unless it was a costume party. Let's save it for Halloween.
I don't really know that that's a way to spike attendance. How are things in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Hey, not too bad. I was out over the weekend, did a little slow dancing at a country bar. It's called Outlaws.
Why would you do that?
Well, why not?
Because it's a country bar, and because you're Clyde Lewis.
Just went there, and a couple of your listeners recognized me. I thought it was really interesting.
At a country bar?
At a country bar, yeah. And, you know, what's really cool about Outlaws, they have this, like, mirrored hat that, like, is spinning around the room, and I was just so wasted.
It sounds like a place full of sophisticates.
Yeah, I was so wasted. They had this spinning mirrored hat. I thought it was a UFO or something. I was just really, you know, blown away by it. So,
well, all right, anyway. Then. How are the youth of today? Are the youth of today finding appropriate guidance at the hands of Clyde Lewis?
I hope they are, yeah.
Are they out seeing ATLs?
What?
There was apparently some sort of a ruckus at the Lloyd Center Food... Was it Lloyd Center Food?
Yep. I heard about that when I was listening to the shows before I went to lunch, and you were talking about that movie that was a ruckus at the mall or something. I didn't get into detail about that, but I did hear something about the preview of Flight 93. Have you heard about that?
Oh, that's the Oliver Stone 9/11 film.
No. The 9/11 film that Oliver Stone's doing is called World Trade Center.
Flight 93 is the one, the Let's Roll film.
Yeah. And this film is going to be released on April the 28th, and people are walking out of theaters demanding their money back because they say that the preview is so disturbing. There's no vocal at all.
I didn't find the preview disturbing at all. I just found it... I mean, I watched... If we're talking about the same preview...
It's a preview where there's no voice track, nothing. It just shows people getting on the plane. It shows the plane. It's like watching the Blair Witch Project.
Basically. I saw that preview. On Ain't It Cool. I watched the preview for Flight 93 again, which is the story about that flight that either crashed or was shot down at Forest End, whatever. Some version of that happened over Pennsylvania. And I didn't find it. I just found it. It's like I have no desire to see it. And I don't say that because it's like it offends me or it disturbs me. It's just like it's too soon.
People are yelling out at the screen, too soon. They want their money back. One woman cried and complained. This is really saying something about, what the overall feeling of the country is regarding 9/11.
What it is with me, and maybe you're the same way, maybe not, I don't know. And I mean this with the greatest respect. I don't mean this as a disrespectful comment to 9/11 victims or whatever.
Right.
When I say this, that it's because of there's so much media, and it's like we're so saturated. Like, you, in World War II, like, World War II movies were coming out while World War II was still happening. But
right.
That's because people weren't so overloaded. We're so saturated that it's like I'm sick of 9/11. Like, my 9/11, the compartment in my head labeled 9/11 is still full to overflowing. Like, there's been no time for it to empty.
But you would have seen a sanitized version of World War II also without blood or without any problems.
Well, it would have been propaganda,
One of the things that I thought was very interesting about the movie V for Vendetta, and this is what I'm pointing out to my audience, I want to point that out more, I've been talking a lot about it, is that the reason why that movie is now number 5 at the box office is because what is going on is the situation that V for Vendetta is portrayed is already here now, and we can't do anything about it. So a movie like that is just like, oh, so he's like a, quote, fantasy superhero that's supposed to eliminate the bad boogeyman government. Well, there's no, the bad boogeyman government is here now, so we can't do anything about it, so now it's just a fantasy movie.
What about cable access?
What about cable access?
Well, there are alternative means of news presentations on cable access, are there not?
I hear
yes, there are, and I'm on cable access.
Oh, so that's still going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on, I'm seen occasionally on Outside the Box with Alex Ansari, and I'm also doing a show called Mad as Hell TV. So I'm still doing stuff, talking about this stuff on cable access, and Alex has really got a great show that he provides some really interesting stuff as well. And then, of course, I speak at Dante's, which last week I almost got beaten up by a bunch of Cirque du Soleil guys. So,
you can't ever let that happen to you, and if it does, you can never tell anyone about it.
Well, there's nothing worse than a bunch of drunk Frenchmen all yelling, and they're all yelling at me up on stage. I thought it would be like a kind of a cool thing to have.
Were they all going to twist themselves into big O's and just roll themselves into you?
No, these guys were like 8 feet tall. They were the rubes that basically put the whole poles in the holes.
Oh, so not performers, but roadies.
Yeah, they were the roadies.
I thought you meant you were being beaten by that guy who dangles himself from like a wire by his big toe or something.
No, no, no. These guys were like
a guy in a purple
leotard. That lift the lift.
Oh, those guys are all on crank.
Well, there is an illegal alien French problem out there.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing, too. I wanted to talk, I'm going to be talking about, I think, immigration, too, because I just did an interesting quick take on my website regarding immigration, and the question I ask is, how do you get rid of 11 million people?
Start with the French.
The first word is Soylent.
Yeah, exactly. So, Rick, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly the way I've been
We should eat illegal immigrants.
You should eat them, yes. But that's the whole point, is that, everybody's talking about what we should do.
I'm saying,
well, history tells us what usually happens when you find a invisible threat to your country, what you do with the invisible threat. Yes. So,
there you go.
I'm going to talk about that ugliness as well tonight.
Uplifting as always.
Another thing that I want to tell people too quickly is that I hear that some Stormtroopers and Boba Fett is going to be out at Dante's tonight. And for those of you that have lightsabers, all of us geeks are going to be firing up our lightsabers and having duels tonight. So, I know that sounds...
It's like I can actually hear women staying away. I can actually hear the sound of women getting in their cars and driving further away from us.
I don't know if you can hear this, but listen. I don't know if you can hear that. That is my lightsaber. I have it at work, and everybody's looking at me like I'm some idiot.
I don't know what kind of lightsaber that might be.
Yeah, it's my lightsaber. So, I mean, it's a red one.
Are you around other people right now?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I am. They're all laughing at me like I'm some dweeb. But
say tomato.
I'm wearing a leather jacket and sunglasses, so I don't think that matters anymore.
Do you wear your sunglasses still at your normal job?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I look like a hitman. So I mean, and everybody's afraid of
one
me.
One interpretation.
Okay. They all basically stay away from my cubicle. But
well,
anyway.
Mission accomplished. ClydeLewis.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be at Dante's tonight. Thank you, Clyde.
8 o'clock. Yeah.
All
okay,
right. There you go, man. All right. There you go. Thank you.
I love Clyde.
Okay.
That's the one guy that doesn't have a problem with the ladies, though.
No, he really doesn't. Ladies love cool Clyde. There is no... I didn't really think he was going to pull out the lightsaber, though. Jesus Christ. And the fact, I mean, it is sort of great and terrible that he said, you know, for those of you out there who own lightsabers, I'm going to be... Because he knows that, like, X percent of this audience is just like... X percent of the audience here for this show not only owns a lightsaber, but it's like they got it with him at all times. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that, like, Aaron carries that thing in his shoe. Like, you know, should he need to smite a clone, like, at any given point during the day? It's like, I just love the idea of Clyde walking around his office, which, again, is like I'm not knocking it because it's a real job, which is more than any of us could get. We had, like, a year to try.
Yep.
But Clyde's at a real job walking around in his, like, leather coat, sunglasses, wielding a lightsaber up and down the hallways of his office, which is...
Fantastic.
Sounds like a cool place to work.
This is my lightsaber. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Here's Jim Riley.
Time for the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch for Monday. So there we go. It's a show.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I got a half.
This comes to us from the city of John Day, which is a place in Oregon.
John Day is where that dam is.
I guess so.
Yeah.
A Catholic priest will take over an Eastern Oregon parish today. 2 years after his career was in limbo over sexual abuse charges.
His career is in limbo no more.
Father Richard Edelin has been assigned to serve at St. Elizabeth of Hungary Catholic Church in John Day, according to the church's website. However, a support group for the clergy molestation victim, SNAP, is trying to blank the appointment.
SNAP?
SNAP.
As in O-SNAP?
S-N-A-P, yep.
Okay.
The Houston Archdiocese paid a $5,000 settlement and later sent a letter of apology in 1996 to a woman who alleged Edelin had groped and molested her as a teenager.
I want to know exactly how those apologies read. He did what? He groped and molested her? Uh-huh. Presumably one, then the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he... I mean, how do they phrase those apologies?
They're probably form letters, I would imagine.
Apparently something happened somewhere, and, you know, we're sorry.
Fill in the blank.
It does. I wonder if it is. I wonder if it's like, if they just give multiples. We apologize if our priest/deacon/father/monsignor groped/raped/fondled/... You know,
here's a coupon for Subway with our compliments. Hope all is forgiven.
Slash licked you while you were sleeping. You know, whatever it is he did, please, you know. Yeah.
All right, well, okay. Well, SNAP was alerted to the transfer by an Eastern Oregon Catholic man who had become concerned when he Googled the incoming pastor's name. The group plans next week to contact Bishop Robert Besa, who was the head of the Diocese of Baker.
Sounds like the problem is the clergy Googling the... No, there's a clergy Googling the parish.
Here's our second one. Oh, here's... This is, also has an Oregon connection to it.
Really?
A 29-year-old Oregon woman stopped in Sunnyvale early Tuesday morning to finally meet the Sarasota priest who police say had counseled her over the phone for about a year.
It's just counseled have a colloquial meaning in this case?
Yeah, I guess so. Instead, yes. The Reverend Rolando, who is also known as Randy Venus, met her in the room...
Randy Venus?
Mm-hmm. Met her in the room he had rented for her at the Motel 6 off Highway 101.
That sounds reputable.
And raped her.
Okay.
Stop laughing.
I'm just saying, Randy Venus.
Mm-hmm. Randy
How
Venus.
Would you not see trouble coming from Randy Venus, especially when... Let me understand this. And again, I'm not trying to make light of the situation. Right. I am trying to, as I understand it, this is how the story went. Mm-hmm. That Father Randy Venus...
So he's just Father Venus.
He had counseled her over the phone for about a year.
Canceled her over the phone. And then she wants to resume the counseling, and his instruction to her, as I understand it, is rent a room at the Motel 6.
Right. He had rented the room for her at the Motel 6.
Oh, at a Motel 6.
So he took care of arrangements. Anyway.
There's not even any... So the TV doesn't even get any reception.
A 45-year-old Roman Catholic priest was booked into Santa Clara jail in San Jose on $200,000 bail on a charge of rape by force or fear. Later Friday, he posted bail and was released from custody. He's expected to be arraigned early this week. He declined to be interviewed by the Mercury News. He faces up to 8 years in prison. The arrest came after another blow to members of Saratoga's Sacred Heart Parish, where less than 2 years ago, another of their priests resigned in the face of molestation.
Does it really say came in the wake of another blow?
Uh-huh.
Randy Venus. I'm sorry. There's your clergy watch. Randy Venus.
Because I got to have faith.
Now I just want to call it Listener Party 9, Randy Venus.
He also said, pastoral work has been a source of great enjoyment. Meeting people has been an inspiration in my priestly ministry.
At least for 8 or 10 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rick, is it mere coincidence that you chose to have your party on 420? You subliminal stoner, you. Glad you're back. Now that you're the program director for the station, it's your fault if the station flip-flops with a sports talk channel again. All right, thank you.
Yeah, so are you going to be the one to have to pull Tim and I into the office?
Sarah, Tim. No.
I was never pulled into an office. I found out from second
I meant to actually call you.
Well, you weren't obligated to. You weren't a boss. You were a fellow co-worker.
Well, that's... I don't want to get bogged down in a whole thing. I feel bad that I didn't, though, and I can't... You know what it is? Is when they fired us last time, and I swear to God, at some point we'll quit talking about this. We'll get over the bitterness eventually. Someday. But when they fired us, like I had, I just went through my cell phone one at a time and called everybody and was like, hey, the station's going off the air. Don't be freaked out. You know, I'm fired. Goodbye. And I guess I just, at some point, I assumed that I had called you. I must have gotten interrupted, and then later I was like, Tim, I must have called Tim already. I must have just assumed that I'd already done it. So what, did you get an email from somebody? Is that how you found out?
Well, I got like 300 emails in the course of 2 minutes.
Oh, well, that would tip
and,
you
and,
off.
And I'm wondering, what did I say?
So, yeah, okay. So there you go. So that's that. So, no, we'll just do it on the air.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
No, next time, we'll just announce it right here. Okay. We'll just, you know, we'll just do a little, we'll do a thing. All right, here's Tim Riley sitting
here. Two Tom Cruise stories.
Fantastic.
Number one. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are having a baby girl. The Hollywood couple busy decorating a nursery for the enfant or tot and spent $20,000 on bedding and furniture for a daughter during a massive shopping spree. Heavily pregnant Holmes took delivery of her home.
Heavily pregnant.
From a trendy boutique in L.A. The store's owner told American Access website, it's easy to rack up an expense, especially if you're having a baby. Among the items chosen by Cruise and Holmes were wallpaper featuring classic nursery rhymes, a $178 diaper bag, a stuffed elephant, a Mick teddy bear, several items of designer clothing, and a $150 shawl.
I hate the child already. I don't even, it's not even born and I already hate it.
Katie can't stop squeezing the elephants.
they died at the big taco. Katie can't stop squeezing the elephants.
Tom Cruise story number two.
Randy Venus.
Tom Cruise told Germany's leading tabloid in its Monday edition he wanted to tie the knot this summer to fiancée Katie Holmes after the birth of baby and the upcoming release of his new film, Mission Impossible 3. He was in Germany to plug the film on the country's popular Wetten Das TV show. He said on the show that the two pilots were at the ready to fly him home should Holmes go into labor. If Katie calls, I'm gone, said Cruise, insisting he wanted to be present for the birth of the
baby. I'm gone.
Child. Yeah.
Is that like if my wife calls, I'm gone?
No, he's somewhere else right now.
Oh, I thought it was like a hold my calls kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He confirmed to Bill Magazine that he and Holmes plan to marry in the coming months. First the baby, then the film, he's quoted as saying. Then in summer, we want to get married. I won't let this woman go away.
Please don't marry him.
It's too late.
No, she won't. She's still...
What, are they going to break in and steal her?
She's in there somewhere. I think she's going to smarten up.
It's like a coma victim somewhere behind those glassy eyes.
You know, you read the reports that things aren't going so well. I think that she's probably just sticking it out until the birth, and then I think she's going to go.
I don't know. This would be the time. Unless she doesn't...
we can hope.
Unless she doesn't want to keep the kid. Because if she wants to keep the kid, wouldn't the time to be to run now?
Well, the rumors are that she signed a contract with him. For like $5 million to stay with him for 5 years.
That the baby already has a billion-year contract with the church?
Yeah, no, well, that she's going to give him the child, but she's going to stay with him for 5 years.
Oh, it's like a Michael Jackson.
Exactly, and she's going to get compensated like for $5 or $10 million if she stays with him for 5 years.
Would you have Tom Cruise's baby for $5 million?
Absolutely.
I would totally do that.
I would not.
I'd do it right now.
Oh, no.
I don't care if I have to have a uterus implanted in my butt.
Have that demon seed? No.
What?
Without a blindfold?
It doesn't matter. I don't care. $5 million, I'd completely have Tom Cruise's baby. This instant. Tom Cruise can come impregnate me right now. I'm making that offer right now. I'd do it for less than $5 million. Are you kidding me?
How much would you do it for?
I would let Tom Cruise impregnate me. I never thought I'd be saying this phrase. I would let Tom Cruise... I mean, assuming I was a woman. It doesn't really... Now it's not really an opportune setup. But if I was a woman... If Tom Cruise came to you... And he said, Sarah Dillon, you've got good genes, and by God, I think we'd have... Now, if he said, look, I'm going to impregnate you, you don't have to have sex, though. He'll just... It's like a laboratory tube ladle thing, stirrup thing, where it's like you go in, and then it's like you're pregnant. So you don't have to sleep with him. Not that he'd necessarily be interested in that anyway, for various reasons. So...
He throws in 200 free iTunes downloads.
Yes, yes.
And a T-shirt.
An old Top Gun
and
one.
He'll autograph your copy of All the Right Moves. So he says, look, I'm going to impregnate you. You will become impregnated with my seed. You will have the baby. You will give birth to the baby in whatever crazy method I demand. You will have the baby. but then immediately you're free and clear. You never have to see me again. You never have to see the baby again.
Oh, I don't have to take care of the baby?
No. It's like as soon as the baby's born, you can take off. You don't have to do anything with me ever again.
For how much?
$1 million flat. After taxes. $1 million free and clear.
Only if you get a cashier's check.
I'd probably do it if I don't have to take care of it.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't have to take care of the baby, yeah. I would completely do that. So, well, there you go. See, so it's, I mean, we've all got our price. That's all I'm saying. All right. Well, do we have to take a break?
Yeah.
Well, let's break. We still haven't talked about Basic Instinct 2. Not that
nobody is. Nobody's talking about Basic Instinct 2 anywhere.
Not that there's much to tell. And we've got this copy of the Inquirer to get to. I never did get to that Liza Minnelli sex story. We'll try to do that. And when hygiene goes bad. Later on today, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to talk about Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Might be going to jail. We're going to talk about Sport Fight 15, which is coming up with the Rose Garden this Saturday. We'll talk about the city versus suburb thing. Don't forget, Listener Party 9, still to be named. Listener Party 9, still to be named, coming up Thursday, April 20th. Sabala's Mount Tabor. We're going to be giving away tickets to Sport Fight as well, so you stay there. That's all on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the O-Needers. Don't go anywhere.